Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
We're talking about anything but average. I would imagine that on such a beautiful Northwest day that you guys that have come here this morning are anything but average people because you're here and you're not, you know, going to the beach, which is supposed to be like 65 degrees today. Do you guys know that 65 degrees is like summer temperatures at the beach? You can actually like lay on the beach here in the Northwest at 65 degrees. It's going to be even warmer than that, I think. Or you're not going up to the mountain skiing or, you know, cross-country skiing or, you know, doing that kind of stuff. You're actually in church. You guys are anything but average people. That's right. Give yourself a big hand this morning. I am so excited. You know, no one aims to live an average life. When we were younger, we all aspired to live extraordinary lives. We all wanted to be, you know, a fireman, right? We wanted to be a doctor or a lawyer or a professor or a sports star. When we were younger, we wanted to be anything but average. But somewhere along the line, we settle into this average life, average job, average debt, average marriage, average family, average dreams. And if we are to really follow Jesus, we would not want to be average. When you really follow Jesus, you can't be average because he is not an average God. And Jesus calls us to be more than average. He calls us to give more than expected. And he's invited us all to live a life that is above average. And so he calls us also, as we talked about last week, to live for later and not now. Average people don't live for now, they live for later. They think about the future. They invest in their education. They invest in their 401k. They're thinking about future. They're investing into their spiritual lives. They're thinking about future. They're investing their finances, knowing, like Sibylle said, the blessings of God doesn't happen overnight. But over time and because of faithfulness, God has an amazing financial plan for your life. Are you guys out there? What I know today is this. When you do God's word works. When you're a doer of God's word works. So two questions I want to ask this morning that I asked last week is, what do anything but average people know? And what do anything but average people do? As we've talked about in this series, and you can get everything is online, really easy to get to, even on different sites. All of our messages are online. But average people go the extra mile. Remember we talked about that? Remember we talked about how that the Jewish people were forced to carry the Roman soldiers' armor. And the law stated they had to carry it 1 mile. And Jesus was pretty much teaching them, go the extra mile. The Jewish people hated carrying the armor because it was an embarrassment in public. And so the Jewish people, those that were so religious, they knew that 1 mile equaled 1,000 steps. So they would count it out loud as they walked down the street. And on the 1,000th step, they would drop the armor and say, there, I've fulfilled my duty. I've fulfilled the law. And then the Roman soldier would make someone else pick it up to go the next mile. Jesus basically said, if you want to be above average, go the extra mile. Go the extra mile. As he was teaching in this Sermon on the Mount sermon. Give what is not expected. Exceed expectations. Live for later. See, average people, they're fixated on the now. Fixated on fulfilling their urges and their feelings instead of thinking about the future. Jesus said, also, it's a bad investment to store up treasures on earth where moth and rust decay. And obviously, he's not talking about, you know, investing, and he's not talking about saving and those kind of things. But when we put those things first in our lives, when we worship those things, everything gets out of whack. Our spiritual life, our relationships all get out of whack when we focus on stuff and things. God wants us to be wise concerning those things. Can you say amen out there? So Jesus is teaching all of these lessons on the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and the first part of Matthew chapter 7. It was a long sermon. We're not sure if he did it all in one day, and we're not sure that Matthew compiled everything together in three different chapters as he wrote it. But I'm sure we'll find out when we get to heaven. But today I want to talk about one last behavior. Average knows exactly what to do. I mean, you guys are sitting here listening to me. Most of you guys know exactly what to do. Some, as you listen to the sermon, will leave here and actually begin to do some of the things that not only I suggest, but that the Holy Spirit prompts you to do. Because not only is Pastor Bob in the house, but the Holy Spirit is in the house. And he's called the teacher. One of his many names. He being God, the Holy Spirit is called the teacher. And he personalizes the sermon and the message to you today pertaining to your individual situation in life. If I stood at the door after service and asked you, what did you get out of the sermon today? I would get a different answer from everyone because the Holy Spirit's the teacher. That's how supernatural the word can be. Why? Because he wants you to raise your life to the next level. He wants you to be above average. So average Christians, a lot of times are impressed only with their attendance or showing up at church. Now, I was just talking about a bunch of pastors this week. And when I first came from Tacoma down here to Portland, and we started 13 years ago, one of the biggest frustrating things for me is people thought that this was their church if they came once every 3 months. We'd see somebody on the street and they'd say, "Hey, pastor." I'm like, "Oh, hi, how are you doing?" "Well, I go to your church." I'm like, "Really? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's my church. City Park Church or Champions Church. I go to your church." I'm like, "Wow," you know. People that go, that actually, you know, attend. For those of you that come more than twice a month, you guys are the above average people. Can you say amen? Amen. For those of you that come every Sunday, man, you got a big mansion in heaven. I'm telling you. And I understand, you know, vacations and time off and stuff like that. But really, average people are just impressed with attendance. Our goal for you at this church is not just to come once. Our goal and our mission is for you to come again. And when you come into a church, you know, you come to the first time and you're checking it out. "Right, I'm going to check out the building. I'm going to check out the kids' rooms. I'm going to check out the pastors. You know, see if they're cool." Well, we fit that bill, right? We're cool. You know, I'm going to check out everything. The music, you know, did they miss a chord? Yeah, if you know anything about music, I missed a few chords this morning. We're not perfect, right? And so you're checking us out, but our goal is for you to come back. Don't ever judge a church just by going one time. You know, you just can't. You know, there's so much more about us than just one-time introductions. Our goal is for you to come back. Just being here in this environment, yes, God's Spirit is here. Yes, the teacher is here. But just being here in this environment will not necessarily change your life on a daily basis. You can't eat one spiritual meal a week and expect God to do supernatural things on a daily basis. My prayer is that you get inspired to get to know him more. My prayer is that you take this sermon and you actually listen to it again, tomorrow online. That I've inspired you to open up your Bibles and to read your Bible Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning and to engage in prayer and to really get to know Christ on a personal level. Because Christianity really is not religion. Christianity is all about relationship. God wants a relationship with us. He wants to know you. He wants to know your kids. He wants to know your family. And he wants to be intimately involved. God has a good plan for your marriage, for your life. If you're a college student, he has a good plan for you as a single person. Amen? For a good job, a nice car that doesn't break down. Anybody say amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. But just being here in this environment isn't necessarily going to change your life unless we do what Jesus said and become above average people. Above average people. Matthew chapter 7, let's turn there. That was my introduction. Jesus talked about the wide road and the narrow road. And the wide road leads to death or destruction, but the narrow road leads to life. Some will walk out of here this morning and not hear anything that I'm saying. There's a danger that when you go to a church for a long time that you get so used to the pastor's voice that you leave here and not hear anything that the pastor says. And if you find yourself thinking, I've heard that before, then you're really not tapping into the potential of what God wants for you this morning. Because if you only look to me as a human being or a natural person and not someone that is sent here to be your pastor, then your time really could be well spent somewhere else. But if you know that God sent you here and you believe that I hear from God and that the word of the Lord is being spoken, you can leave here and your life can literally be changed as you walk out those doors and walk out the word that was taught. That's what Jesus wants for us. The same thing happened to Jesus after 3 years. The Pharisees weren't really listening to him. They were trying to entrap him, trying to listen between the lines. Their lives weren't really changed, even though they were in the environment, even though they were in the presence of Jesus, their lives weren't being changed because they had ulterior motives. They were looking to harm him. They were looking to put him out. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Understands them? No. Takes notes? Good thing. But not just taking notes. Tweets them? No. Puts them on Facebook? No. It's a good thing. It's a great medium to share the word and to evangelize these days. But if that's all we do, the word isn't going to change our lives. It says in verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man. I don't want to be foolish, do you? I don't want to waste my time. I want to be a smart man. I want to be a wise man. So there's two kinds of people in the Christian world. There's some who do, and there's some who don't. And basically, the Bible teaches us in the book of James, which we'll go to in a minute, that those who don't, those who are just hearers of the word actually are deceiving themselves. Building a foundation, a solid foundation in our lives has to do not just from hearing, it has to do with doing. Putting them into practice. Look at the next verse. We're going to go back actually to verse 25. I did 24, 26, but in between, sandwiched in between there, it says this. It says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. The foundation on the rock, meaning the word was taken, the word was comprehended and understood. It wasn't just tweeted. Notes weren't just taken. They actually took that word and put it into practice when they left. They brought it back to their house. They brought it to their children. They brought it to their schools. and they began to put it into practice. This is God, our Heavenly Father's greatest joy. When we leave a church service, which we believe is ordained by God, Jesus died for the church and he set pastors and local churches in place to teach the word so that people could live victorious lives, so that they could take that word and they could leave church that day or that Bible study or that small group or that youth meeting and take that word and put it into practice. When we put it into practice, what happens? God shows up. He begins to prove to us that, hey, my word works. My word will perform what it was sent to do. It will accomplish something in your life. God is telling us, I am not a liar. My word is truth. And those who know the truth will experience freedom. Those who know more truth and more truth will experience more and more freedom. Verse 26 says, who built his house on the sand. Who built his house on the sand. So previously it says, because it had its foundation on the rock. Those who built their house on the sand, the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. You know, one of the big things about building something, like for example, this building. Many people looked at this building and did not want to buy it because supposedly there was a crack in the foundation in this corner. Even when we would pull up with real estate agents, we had some people walk up to us and our organization was looking at buying that building, but there's a crack in the foundation and it's not sturdy. I said, okay, well, you know, if that's the case, then we won't buy it. So the first thing we had to do is do some due diligence. The architects and engineers show up. The engineer goes down in the basement, looks at the corner of the building, and discovers there wasn't really a crack down there. There is not a crack. There used to be another entrance out of the basement right here that they actually cemented in. So basically, he gave us a clean bill of slate. He said, the building is sturdy. You can move ahead and buy the building. So many times in our own lives, we've experienced things that have put cracks in our foundation. And those cracks, over time, if not repaired, can create havoc in our future. Have you ever gone by a building? You've driven out in the country and you've seen one of these old barns that's basically just caving in and falling apart. You ever see that? There's a lot of them around here. And you just, or you see a house that hasn't been taken care of, that's been abandoned, and there's a tree growing right up in the middle of it. And you think to yourself, how did that building get in that shape? It didn't happen over time, but because of neglect, people actually probably lived in there at one time, because when the plumbing broke in the crawl space, it wasn't fixed, and that little leak caused problems. Because there was a crack in the foundation and it wasn't fixed, it caused the whole foundation to crumble. And eventually, it became unfit to live in. And today, you look at that structure, and it's completely in disarray. Why? Because the owners, they knew they needed to fix that small little leak in the basement, that little pinhole that was in the plumbing. But because they didn't, the whole basement actually got all wet. The insulation got wet. Mold started to grow. People started to get sick because they knew what to do. It was a simple fix at the beginning. But because it was neglected over time, that simple fix, which would have cost them a few dollars, now cost them thousands of dollars that they can't afford. And the situation was they had to move out. It happened to one of our houses. We had a small pinhole leak. But first of all, our renters would call us and said, the hot water in the hot water tank doesn't last. I'm like, well, how long does it last? Well, we can take one shower, but the second person that gets in can't take a shower. So I'm thinking, okay, well, we need a new hot water heater. So instead of buying a new hot water heater, maybe I'll change the element out. Now, I don't know how to change an element, but instead of spending $300, $400, I can spend $50 and try to fix the thing. So I did. I changed the element. I changed whatever else needed. A few weeks later, they call us, it's still not working. I'm like, really? Everything's changed in there. It's pretty much a brand new hot water heater. I came to the house and I walked up to the door and I hear this. Thinking, where's that coming from? Walking outside the house. I look at the hose bib and I don't see anything wrong with the outside hose bib. And man, something's wrong. So I get down into the crawl space and immediately I get down there and I touch the insulation up and the insulation is soaked. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. As I'm crawling down in that crawl space, every piece of insulation is completely like a sponge, completely soaked. And I go over to where the hose bib is, and in one of the what's that new plumbing pipe called? I forget. Yeah, the PEX pipe, which is supposed to be bulletproof, right? There's this little pinhole, little spray thing coming out, spraying up towards the insulation. The water had literally traveled down all of the floor joists throughout the whole bottom of that house and soaked all the insulation. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. I was like, how can that one little thing? I talked to my plumber later on about it. I said, how's that happening? He said, there's actually a bug in the Northwest that will eat through pipes and cause these little pinholes. It doesn't happen often, but he says, that's the only thing I can think of because PEX pipe is like bulletproof, supposed to be bulletproof. So literally, what did I do? Immediately, I've got to fix this situation. It was a summertime, thank God. It wasn't like cold. Had my shorts on. And Benjamin, my son, come to help me. We literally ripped down every piece of insulation in there and started piling it up. I mean, it was the worst. Anybody deal with insulation before? Can anybody say rock wool? Come on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We put rock wool. I mean, it was just the worst job you could ever imagine. But the point is this. This house is a moneymaker for me. And I have got to fix this problem because it could literally destroy this whole house. I've got to be a doer, not an avoider. I could shut my eyes and say, nobody knows about it. So what? You only get one shower. It's the water heater's fault. It's just the way it is up here. But if I'm going to protect my investment, I've got to be a doer. I've got to get right on it. I've got to take care of the situation. I've got to protect my investment. We've got to protect our lives. God wants us to move forward. God wants to prove to you that His word works. And when we leave here, when we leave that Bible study, or when we leave that quiet time in the morning and God says, I want you to do this today. Number one, He wants to prove to you that He's real, that He's alive. And number two, He wants to guide you to paths of success for His name's sake. He wants you to be successful with Him by your side. You ever have God, after you've done something God says to do and it was successful, God's like, see, I told you it works. Like, yeah, God, you're right. And then God gives you a greater challenge. Like, try this now. You're like, oh, no. How many God says something to you and you're like, there's no way I can do that. When God gives you a faith project, there is no way I'm going to do that. But all of a sudden, you get enough guts up and you get enough faith up and you've read about it and you've researched it out. You got to do the natural as well as the supernatural. You do your research, you do your due diligence, and you figure everything out. And then you're like, okay, God, here's all the facts. But in a situation, you don't ever really find out all the facts. Even if you go on Google, even though Google is close to God and begins with a G, you don't really find everything you need to know. You guys out there, you've searched everything, every website, right? And then you're like, okay, God, I'm ready to do this, but I need you. And God gives us faith projects that are bigger than ourselves, bigger than our intelligence, bigger than our education, to prove to us that he is right there alongside of us, wanting to help us and wanting us to be successful. Hallelujah. This is the kind of God that I serve. Amen. He not only lives in me, but he's alongside of me. I am a co-laborer with him. We work together. He's right here standing next to me right now. You see him? It's amazing how he can speak through you. He can help you to use your hands. He can create through you. The creator of the universe lives inside of us. It's amazing. Our lives don't have to be boring. God wants to send you on an above average adventure to live an above average life. That's awesome. James chapter 1, let's turn there. James chapter 1 and verse 19. James was Jesus' brother. Now, when your brother is fired up, you know you've done something right. When you get someone in your family saved, and then he begins to serve, and then begins to write as well, you know you've done something right. His brother James writes this in verse 19, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Wow. Man, if we just like incorporated that in our lives, we'd be successful every day. I mean, if that was like the only scripture we ever had, that'd be like, whoa. You'd actually get a promotion if you did that. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? Quick to listen. What does that mean? Well, shut up at the meeting, listen to the boss, right? Slow to speak. Don't always have to give her your opinion. Everybody say amen. And slow to become angry. Even though you're angry on the inside, don't let it show on the outside. Walk out of that meeting, just biting your lip. Man, that would make you very successful. It'd make me successful. I remember we were in the meeting with this building, you know, deciding whether or not we could actually buy the building with the city manager and the head of the building department of Gresham and the chief of police, the chief marshal, and our architect and our engineer, and we're trying to prove to them that there's no change of occupancy and we wouldn't have to put in sprinklers and seismic upgrades in the building, which would have completely put us out of the price range to buy this place. And as I sat there, our architect just started quoting chapter and verse of the code, the building code. And I'm like, whoa, that's amazing. She was literally just proving our case to the city that there's no change of occupancy from the Masons to City Park Church, and we don't have to do these upgrades. And during that meeting, right, the beginning of that meeting, as she started to speak, because you know, I can be quite boisterous and opinionated at times, the Holy Spirit said, "Shut up. And don't say a word." I was like, "Yes, sir." And I did. I barely said anything through the meeting. God spoke through that architect. We came to the conclusion that we didn't have to do those things, and we were on our path to purchase the building. James goes on in verse 20, says, "Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." Wow. "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." I am a farmer today. I am planting the word which is in you that can save you. Now, this is not talking about your salvation, because your salvation has been paid for. It's free. Jesus paid the price. It's a free gift. We are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God, right? What he's talking about here can save you from destroying your own lives. Amen? On a daily basis. Can save your soul and renew your mind, so that you can resist moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent in this world. By humbly accepting the word that is planted in you. See, you've got to come to church in a humble way. You've got to come to church in a way and say to God before you come, God, speak to me today. Lord, I want to know your will for my life. I pray for Pastor Bob, Pastor Sabile, whoever is speaking that day. Speak through them and speak to me so that I may know your will this week, so that I can leave that building that day and put that word into practice and continually renew my mind and my will and my emotions towards what you have for my life. That's what we're doing every day. We're having mind renewing, soul renewing, emotion renewing therapy in here today. You guys there? Getting my mind thinking right. It's able to save your soul. And then James, the brother of Jesus, says this in verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word. Do not merely Instagram it. I can't prove to you that Jesus is real. Only God can prove to you that he's real. One of the biggest things the devil will do is he will cause havoc in church so that you leave church, so that you get frustrated with church and leadership, so that you don't come on a regular basis to renew your soul or renew your mind and to put the word into practice, so that you become a lost, separated sheep from the flock that is vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. And there are tons of Christians and believers in this area that are home right now because they've got offended over something that happened in the church that they used to attend, and the devil has got them right where he wants them. You cannot be a successful Christian and not go to church. You can't be a successful Christian and not go to church. It's impossible. It's impossible. It is God's will. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. He says, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. That's interesting. When I'm not feeling good about myself, when I've eaten too much, I don't even want to look in the mirror. Anybody there? Does anybody avoid mirrors? Sometimes we avoid mirrors. When I'm doing good eating-wise and working out, I'll look at myself in the mirror, you know, look at how the clothes fit. But when I'm not doing good, I don't want to look at myself in the mirror. You get out of the bath, you shower, and you kind of, you know, put your towel and you avoid it. I'm like, I don't want to look at that. Ooh. Definitely not Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's what happens with the word. We don't want to come to church. We don't want to open the Bible because the word is a mirror. When we read it, we are looking at ourselves. Because the Holy Spirit reveals the word to us and he teaches us the things that we have to do. And the reason why we don't go to church or the reason why we don't pick up and open our Bibles is because we're just hearers and we don't want to change. We don't want to do what it says. Therefore, even though I know what it says because I've been to church where I've read it, I don't want to be reminded of what it says because I'm in disobedience to what God wants me to do. Ooh, come on, anybody out there this morning? Come on, we've all been in the same boat. It's like, God, okay, you told me that like 10 times, you know? And you're reading through the book of Corinthians and you just skip chapter 3 just because you don't want to read it. I don't want to read chapter 3 because I know God's told me to do something in chapter 3 I don't want to do. So God, I'm reading my Bible and look at me. I'm devotional crazy right now. But I'm going to skip chapter 3 because you've told me multiple times of what to do in chapter 3. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't even know what's in chapter 3. I just made it up today. But that's just how it works. We don't want to come to the conclusion in our lives that God actually wants us to live successful lives, and he's trying to get you to take care of the little pinhole in the plumbing in your crawl space before it completely destroys your whole house. And if you would take care of it when it's small, it is a lot easier than when it gets bigger. A lot cheaper, a lot less timely, a lot less energy, and then we can move on to what he has for us. Verse 25, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it. Everybody say continues. Well, Pastor Bob, I've been a Christian for 30 years. Pretty much read the Bible from cover to cover at least 20 times. I know what it says. Really. I don't know about you, but I forget. Anybody out there forget? I haven't hidden the whole word inside of my heart that I might not sin against God yet. Are you there? Pretty much when I read the Bible, there's many times where I can read a passage of scripture and God, every time I read it, tells me something different about that scripture because the Holy Spirit is the teacher. Amen? And God emphasizes something different and he tells you something different and he reveals something different. Why? Because the word is alive, you guys. The word is a living document. Amen? That's sharp and able to save your souls and able to guide you and direct you. When we do God's word, when we're open, when we're humble to accept God's word, what happens to us? We become above average Christians. Amen? Not just sitters, not just listeners, not just tweeters. We become above average Christians. Why? Because we're doers of the word and we're not deceiving ourselves. We're doers. Everybody say, come on, I'm a doer. Come on, say I'm a doer. And continues in it. So what? You've been a Christian for 30 years. Continue in it. That's the greatest thing about Christianity. There's more. God is more than enough. He wants to continue to guide you, even into your old age. Amen? He wants to continue to help you, continue to guide you to do things and to help people and to love people and to do whatever you can do to the day you die. Hallelujah. To the day you're satisfied with living on this earth and doing God's will. It's an exciting thing. You continue in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it. And here's the last line of this sermon. Are you guys ready? They will be blessed in what they do. Does anyone want to live the blessed life? They will be blessed, not in what they hear, not because they just attended church or the Bible study. Not because you do your daily devotions. Not because you posted a fancy banner on our Facebook page. But they're blessed in what they do. Do. And I'm preaching to you and I'm preaching to me this morning. Because there's many times God will have me give a word and he's talking to me too. He's like, I want you to do that too. I'm like, yes, sir. Amen. I don't know about you, but wouldn't it be amazing if we all stopped being part-time Christians? What kind of life could we have if we purposed to be full-time Christians? What could God do? Let's all stand up.